Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Welcome back, everyone, to another planning episode and behind the scenes episode of Cosmic Grid 2.0. This is the only Starfinder second edition show in the universe that you need to know. 8 years strong, and I'm joined by a backbone of the Cosmic Critiverse here. This is your Game Master Patrick, and I'm joined by player Jabert, friend Jabert, gamer ally Jabert. We've been gaming together for quite some time. How are you doing, Jabert?
For many years indeed. Yeah, I'm doing all right, doing good. I'm excited. I'm excited about a series one.
Is that how we're
calling it?
Yeah, we're going like BBC rules now. Well, I'm very interested because we might have like a whole bunch more if they're going to be shorter books. Like Guilt of the Grave World is only 5 levels. So, yeah, who knows? And we might have like, you know, interim series. Like technically we had like, a very small series in the middle between books 4 and 5, right? Is that when we did Junker's Delight?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, that would be like a whole series unto itself. And yeah, we don't know what we're going to do with Cosmic Crit 2.0. But I figured starting over would be a good place to start.
Yeah. I like rebooting the universe a little bit. Just, you know, turn the universe off and on again. So we can reset a few of the things. So it feels like our lore got a little
sticky, heavy. A little stacky. Yeah. Well, the thing is, we've been playing together for, like I said, for 8 full years. We started in 2017. Maybe when this episode coming out, we're past that. We're on to our 8th year, or onto our 9th year, starting into our 9th year. But this show has meant a lot to me in that it has forced all the people that we know and play games with to play every week and distract from hideous things in the real world. We talk about this a good amount on the podcast in years past, but we record on Monday nights typically, and the episode comes out on Monday. And I think that's on purpose to just make Monday a little less sucky for people. I hate Mondays so much, but like I said, for the last 8 years, they've been my
I hate day. Mondays, but I'm sick of lasagna. So it's podcasting it is.
Yeah, I can't just have lasagna every Monday. So gotta game it up. Yeah, so we're talking about making your character one-on-one this week for this first series, and potentially, you know, more. You know, we want to make characters that we are going to enjoy and we're going to want to play and come back to perhaps with more adventures. So we are probably spending the most time on these PCs than we have for any of them that we that we've goofed around with over the years. And that's what this episode's going to be all about. First, if you're ready to get into it, Jabert, can we get into it?
Let's get into it.
First question is, I know we are now recording this, I think, a full month and a half afterwards or somewhere in that neighborhood. But what do you think about the draft?
I thought it was a lot of fun.
You just rolled randomly.
Is it
the same for you?
I appreciated the madness of just getting what you get.
You know? Let me do it again. I won't recommend folks do that, but it was funny. It was funny as heck this time around, and it somehow worked out.
Somehow. But it very easily could have gone a very different way. Oh my gosh, can you imagine if I'd rolled champion?
It would have been very funny.
Rebecca would have been so upset with me.
Roll again, Jabert. Use your reroll, Jabert.
It worked out great. I'm loving the Rebel Vlaka Oracle. That's going to be fun.
Is it going to be fun, Jabert? Is it going to be fun?
It might be fun. We will find out.
Yeah, we got to.
I'm playing an Oracle in our IRL game right now.
I was about to say, and you don't want to play him anymore.
I mean, it's not because I'm not enjoying him, although, like, it's, you know, it's more like the thing that I chose for my mystery, for my Oracle, happens to be like, I was like, oh yeah, I'll take like the knowledge branch. And it's like, oh no, this like forbidden knowledge. And the person that I always sit right next to is our thaumaturge. And it's just like the class is all about knowledge rolls. And like, that's like the primary thing the class does. And I was like, I should have talked with her about this. Anyway, I've got this huge charisma. I can be the party face. And then like, we've got like two other faces in the party. It's just like
very charismatic group. hilariously, you guys all have picked classes that have different attribute, like primary focuses.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This party composition, I'm more excited about. I think it's gonna gel nicely. Mm-hmm. And we were sort of talking about, you know, like some different, you know, kind of roles that these kind of classes tend to fill. And I mean, one of the things that second edition sort of supports nicely is the healer role. And so I'm kind of thinking maybe I might lean into sort of a little more healer. Although, like, I mean, I guess I did that on Dead Man Roll No Crits, but with old Bartleby, but I'm doing it again. But this time I'm a dog.
Well, I don't know why, but I feel like Starfinder has more opportunities for folks to branch out. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm turning into a guns right advocate, but doesn't your character feel so strong when they can just buy a gun at any point and shoot things? Like, it's like, yes, you're a wizard, but you also are a wizard with a machine gun. So, or you're an Oracle, but you're an Oracle with an Uzi. Right.
So if spells fail, you know, no one's got spell resistance against bullets.
Well, I was about to say, I think that was a funny thing when I first played Starfinder Second Edition, that Chick-Chick, the mystic, had just like a gun. It's like, I'm gonna use my spell riddle with bullets. See how that does. But yeah, just, I don't know, I guess I don't think to do that in a Pathfinder game, even though everyone probably should have like a crossbow or some like backup option. But yeah, I don't know, I just feel like
option, but
Starfinder, yeah, you probably aren't gonna be as bad off. Because you got options, you got backup options.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you buy those things, then it will be good. As long as no one's crazy and refuses to buy armor or weapons for an entire campaign.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's talk about what you did roll up and potentially maybe first hear what you stole in the ancestry category. You rolled Vlaka, which apparently was number two or number one, I think, on
I think it might have been Tyler's number one that he wanted, yeah. Or was it?
I forget.
I feel like we stole two things from him, didn't we?
Yeah, didn't he want to be Patra too, potentially?
Oh, I think that's what it was. I think he wanted to be Patra first, and then his second option was Vesk or Vlaka.
He chose cats, he chose dogs, and you guys are like, nah.
Nah, that's us. So yeah. Yeah, the Vlaka, I've been interested in that ancestry since, I don't know, since what was it, the second Player's Handbook came out or something?
I mean, probably
advanced or whatever.
They've
been out for a long time.
But I can look right. It was Interstellar Species. Was the book.
And
I'm sure Amazon will tell me what year it came out.
Yeah, I kind of love that they sort of like, they have a very sort of like Oracle-esque feature in that they're often either blind or deaf or sometimes both. And then they've got like sort of like, you know, other sorts of skills for offsetting that. I found it really interesting that I think it is a potentially terrifying thing to like potentially like not have sight and then rely on hearing in a space adventure. You know, like, you know, famously in space where you can hear everyone scream.
But you can get like a good sense of smell, you know?
Right. Yeah. So you can smell the inside of your space suit. like when you're not on station, it's like you got nothing if you can't see.
That'll only happen a lot of the time in space.
Yeah, adventures. I know. It's. I mean, I was. So frankly, considering going for like blindness, but I can't do that.
Do deafblind.
I gotta be both. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, whatever you want to do, I think it'd be fine. But it seems like also being deaf, you would also be at a disadvantage in a spacesuit. You know.
Yeah.
It's like comms are important.
Right. Exactly. It would just it'd be. I'm gonna need to have like a cone, like a vision cone, to point wherever I'm looking.
Oh, either way, I think it is a interesting ancestry in general, and we've already talked about it. You know, we got a cat and we got a dog. It seems like a pretty good mix. And are you interested in being friends with Miles's cat character?
Oh, nah.
Against the grain.
Dogs rule and cats drool.
Well, it could be an antagonistic friendship.
That's true. We could.
It'd also be very funny if it was one-sided. Like, you just don't like Miles at all, and they're like your best friend, or maybe one of them is life indebted to the other. Like, oh, great, I gotta hang around this jerk because of my stupid traditions.
you save somebody's life once. And then you never get rid of them. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. They are cool, and I'm gonna try to keep the butt sniffing jokes to a minimum.
Oh yeah, you have a attribute flaw in dexterity, so maybe you won't be shooting stuff. Do you think you're gonna take that, or do you want to take the two free boosts instead?
I think I will take the attribute flaw. I always find those interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just sort of like, you know, interesting things to play around. And so, like, you know, having a relatively low AC would be, it will be interesting. I mean, I say relatively low, extremely low, perhaps the lowest.
I'm not going to buy armor.
I mean, like I'll only be proficient in light armor. So.
Pretty much as low as you can get, right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, technically, if I'm not wearing light armor, I mean, technically, if I was like a wizard or something, I was in unarmored. Obviously, technically, that would be lower. But this is about as low as you can get. So I'm probably gonna have to. I'll be hanging out in the back with Drew, just casting it up. Just, I mean, then just you know, nothing's gonna sneak up on us or anything, right?
I don't think I've convinced Drew to be a battle wizard yet, but it's one of the options I spoke with him about, is frontline wizard. But hey, you could be kind of that too. There's all kinds of fun. You can have like a bone weapon.
I've been joking around in our IRL game that Oracle is our party tank. We don't have one. And honestly, I've tanked a lot of damage. I've tanked a lot of hits with that little Oracle.
When you don't fear death, you realize how strong people are. It's like, oh no, I'm dying too. Whatever. Who cares? Yawn. Right. So I'm very excited about the Vlaka. We didn't talk about it too much, but the Rebel background. I was going to suggest that. Because it's like the most recent kind of like military action thing that happened in the universe, to be a Polonus rebel. So like helping Vesk 6 break away from the Veskarium, because that could tie into Rebecca, who's playing a Vesk character, and Miles's Patra.
OK, yeah.
Years back that happened.
I was going to say the Polonus. Is that the Patra homeworld? Is that what that
is? Yes, it is. Mm, yeah. Kitty cat homeworld.
I dig it. Okay, yeah. So there is sort of some potential for a history with Miles's Patra character.
Yeah, and that's where you save their life. So yeah, now they won't leave you alone. Maybe.
I can dig it.
Or vice versa.
vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Rebel. It's just pretty classic, you know.
I like, yeah, I'm digging the sort of charisma sort of synergy with Oracle and Rebel sort of being trained in deception with like the lie to me skill feat, which like sort of meshes well.
Is Oracle a charisma based class?
Their main
one?
Yes, I think. I mean, I know that mine is in our home game. I can't remember if it's one of those where it does, where they have the
options.
Yeah, the multiple options.
It's all about that chop. The
witch is the one where it's like it's all over the place. Like whatever your patron is. Do they just pick their own? Never mind. That's not
I think it's the spell list that they get access to.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Ripple's gonna be cool. Let's talk about the class that you picked up here with Horacle. I'm excited about a Pathfinder class kind of being dropped into the Starfinder universe. It is a little wacky, a little wild that we have three in this first series when you rolled two of those randomly. Do you think you would have picked a Pathfinder class if you had not rolled randomly, or do you think you would have gone for one of these
Starfinders? Honestly, I kind of want to see how the Pathfinder classes sort of play in the Starfinder world. So that's kind of I was sort of hoping in my deepest of hearts that I would get one. But obviously, if I'd rolled a Starfinder one, I would have rolled with it. But I'm very curious to see how Pathfinder classes kind of play in the space.
I mean, I think it'll work out pretty well. Oracle is, you know, close to a lot of, I would say, the spellcasters in a lot of way. They all have like a little different flavor to them. With Oracle, you have a lot of different kind of bents, different styles with the mysteries that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems like wizard and like sorcerer are such like monoliths, you know. Mm-hmm. You can build very different ones, but I feel like the Oracle and the witch in a way are more built for the Pathfinder system. They're built in with more kind of flavor kind of attached to them.
Yeah, we'll see how it meshes. But yeah, looking at some of the Starfinder classes, like I played a lot of these classes in first edition, which obviously they're very different now. But and I played around with a little bit with the Witch Warper when we were, you know, playing sort of the playtest version of this one. I played around with the operative a little bit with the playtest. I played around with the soldier a bit with the playtest. Mm-hmm. And from what I sort of played there, I was sort of like, okay, I get it. But
I just don't think like the mystic is that crazy of a departure from the spellcasters of Pathfinder. So I feel like those are going to be fairly interchangeable. I kind of do wish we had an envoy or a soldier, but maybe we'll get one next time we make characters. Who knows?
I think that if I was going to choose one off of this list, I probably would have picked envoy. Because it's also just like a class I'd never played in first edition. So.
Well, you did. It was called an operative then, because they are now the skill monkeys, the super skill monkeys. Yeah. So we've talked a little off air here. You believe you have a mystery picked out, right? You said you want to kind of go the healer route with an oracle, which not necessarily all of them should be, I guess. There's a whole bunch of different mysteries that you have to choose from, you know. I guess the way to describe them is like they're both a blessing and a curse. The blessing side gives you your good powers, and then there's a curse side that gives you potential negatives.
You'll have like certain actions that you can take that sort of like, you know, act as sort of like your sort of key oracle powers aside from your spells, that sort of have like the curse bound trait, and then as you each time you use that ability, you become more and more curse bound. And like as the curse bound, you know, condition sort of like increases, your curse gets worse and worse. And sometimes it'll be like, oh no, you can't see anymore. Or sometimes it'll be you take penalties to, you know, will saves or something like that, you know.
Some are pretty rough.
Yeah, right. Some of them are like, you know, sort of the madness flavor, and it's like, that can get pretty bad. Then sometimes it's like...
The flames one is you catch on fire and you take persistent fire damage as your curse literally immolates you.
right. Yeah, exactly. Some of them are decidedly worse than others.
Imagine being locked in your spacesuit when that was happening. Just like Johnny Storm, just flame off.
Some of them are just like the other one that I've been running is, you know, you have when you use your ability, which you really only use like once per combat, it's like, oh no, you have a penalty to perception checks. Like, it's like, oh no,
how will I deal with this? Right. But yeah, what which one have you chose for your Vlanka character?
I've chosen the life mystery.
Going against my recommendation of the bone mystery,
I know.
And be a dog with a bone. But that one is honestly probably terrible for this AP. It does, you know, like negative.
It's all negative
void damage. Yeah. So the stuff that is healed by that would take none. But yeah, life is kind of the, I guess, closest mystery to kind of like clerics, you know. And
yeah, I will be decidedly
get.
So heal is not on my list, but soothe is. And so which is sort of the charisma version of sort of healing. And then there's like, you know, false vitality, which is, you know some temporary hit points. And there's also a relatively new spell called Vitality Lash, where, you know, it's basically like a super whip, and you can whip things and deal vitality to it.
Super whip. Super whip, you super whippy. Yow.
So, but yeah, so yeah, there's stuff like that. Life link, so I can sort of dump my hit points to people who need it.
Similar to the mystic base ability, but
yeah.
What spell list does the Oracle use?
It is. Is it based
on your
occultism? I think
makes sense.
I think it's occultism. I'm gonna look it up real quick. I should know this, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not coming up in my search. It says divine tradition.
Ah, oh well, then in that case, I do have the. I do have heal.
Right, because it's arcane, divine, occult, primal. But it's not one that's given to you by the life mystery, right. So
that's just on me to pick that up. But I feel like that'll probably be a pretty
useless easy spell
pick for a signature spell.
Who needs to heal your allies? What a waste of time. No, it probably is a good idea to have someone. We've played a good amount of Pathfinder Second Edition over the years, and it can get pretty brutal, you know. No lies. No lies.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not like you've had characters die up or anything. Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the healing is got a little boost over the last few years, and it feels like a completely valid way to play, to keep your allies in the fight, and to buff them as necessary, and, you know,
there's also to
sling some spells when you need to.
There's one ability that's on the Oracle Life Mystery that's a single action heal, right? Is that like the base ability? Scales. Yeah, that's a pretty good one, because you can also kind of flip-flop yourself, and you can change what kind of healing works on you. Which feels to me a little Solarian-esque, you know?
Yeah, it is a little bit, yeah.
Do I want life or death? Void or positive?
Yeah, that's one of those curse-bound abilities that I have that, like, increases my curse.
Mm, but, yeah, with a single action, you can, like, pop someone up, you know, from being down, give them a couple of hit points, even at level one, Mm-hmm. That's all that's needed. That is indeed a scale nudging to be had.
Yeah, the curse for the life mystery is kind of an interesting one. It's not one that's just like you take damage every turn or anything, but it's like there's like a little, you make a trade off, right? It's like you get to heal others and protect them and all that and so forth, but in exchange you become resistant to healing, so you start to like resist, well, like anything that would like restore hit points.
And interestingly enough, it says only magical effects that restore hit points, which
that's true. Yeah, you can get battle medicine. But
most of the magic or most of the healing is magical, like even in Starfinder, I'm guessing, like stems or what have you have that element like they did in first edition. But yeah, you know, if you have 10 minutes, you can still heal up. But it'd be very funny to get to a point where you have like maximum curse balance and you're just like, do not waste a spell on me. Don't waste a healing serum on me.
They just bounce off of me. Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about more Horacle. Yeah, well, I talked about this a little bit. Are there other secondary weapons you're interested in using? Do you see yourself being a ranged or melee character? Right now, I feel like we have potentially three melee characters already, because we have a Solarian, a champion, and I think Tyler's operative is going to focus on dex-based kind of melee action.
Mm-hmm. I have not put too much thought into equipment yet, as I'm not intending on having a particularly high dexterity. Mm-hmm. So I think usually when I get an ability flaw like that, I tend to kind of lean into it and sort of like let that one languish, which is like a big choice for dexterity. Mm-hmm. So my guess is I will not get great with ranged weapons. At the same time though, we will wait and see what falls into my lap, but it'll probably be a gun of some sort, a cheap gun that mm-hmm. I can use if I really need to.
You can always just, you know, focus on cantrips.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm more likely going to do.
If it's living, sure you've got days. If it's not living,
I need to make sure
needle darts.
I need to make sure that being deaf isn't going to keep me from casting spells.
Probably not, but who knows? Who knows?
We'll check on that.
So. Yeah, and then the last thing I want to talk about tonight is, you know, the character themselves. You know, where you see them going, and like I said, you know, I was going to suggest that the friend to all Patra route, but yeah, it, that might not be like your sole focus. Like maybe you're just a rebel for the rebellion. You know, you just want to help take down, you know, giant corrupt systems. Yeah. But I just think it is very funny to have a cat and dog friends.
I was telling you this before we started recording, but I just finished Andor for the first time, and so now I'm like, yeah, like, maybe I'm this kind of rebel.
Can I
maybe
just I'm, make Andor?
Can I just be Cassian Andor? Is that a thing?
Believe it or not, there's all kinds of
my name
evil
is,
empires in Starfinder.
My name is Barkian Andog, and that is who I am.
Barkian. Yeah, and I think it's going to be very fun to have Rebecca's character in there as a Vescarium hopeful or, you know, trained soldier, perhaps, mm-hmm. Depending on what her character is all about. A little bit of friction.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what she comes up with mm-hmm. for her build. Yeah, yeah. I don't like, just as a person, I don't do great with like interpersonal conflict. And then it what I've also found is I also don't do great with interpersonal conflict that is fantastical or fictional interpersonal conflict.
So, well, I like characters starting off in antagonistic modes, whether it be like in season one, where Rebecca's character kind of looked down on, you know, she's teamed up with like a pirate and a sleazy Isoki and just some rough and tumble characters. And then she turned into the most rough and tumble by the end. And it was like Saint Idros and like businessman Ramey and Neck. And she's like, let's go murder the Sith. So I like starting in one spot and then maybe your characters, maybe you'll find everyone has more in common than they have separating you. You never know. Yeah, I don't terribly want to talk too much about the physical things of your character, but what kind of archetype you see them filling in the team, you know, not mechanically in like a starship crew, but like, are you the funny one? Are you the serious one? Are you the brooding oracle?
I'm not going to be able to commit to being serious because you've seen me fail in great and terrible ways in being serious in this game. Even when I set out with all the best of intentions and I'm like, okay, no, this character has a lot of pathos and like, oh, look at this tragic backstory. And then like four episodes in, I'm like, I'm like, I brought the pizzas.
Whoa, Jim Jom, didn't your wife die choking on pizza? You're like, oh yeah. oh geez,
I forgot. Slap
one pizza on top of the other. I brought the calzones.
Right, yeah, it's just
that's all calzones are, two pizzas on top of one another.
Yeah, it's just
cheese to cheese.
It's like somebody was trying to hide their pizza, so they folded it in half. They were like, they saw a taco and they were like, oh, I've got no idea.
They're like, hey, what's that? Is that a pizza? It's like, no. It's just bread. There's nothing gooey and delicious inside. It's like, I like bread. Can I have some? No, you cannot. You cannot have it. Well, yeah. You know, what role do you think? Yeah, do you think you might be a comic relief kind of character?
I mean, I'm going to try to keep that kind of to a minimum without being like a bummer. I'm gonna try to keep it to a minimum a little bit this time around. Try to keep the jokes a little more, let's say a little more Miles-esque, a little more just for measers.
So dog puns all over the place.
Dog puns, but they're not.
The situation's but looking rough.
Rough, right? But
no bones about it. We gotta get out of here.
But yeah, but but my character won't think they're funny. My character is gonna be serious about it. You see, this time, Patrick. This time, I'm gonna promise you this right here, right now. My character will be serious this time.
Jabert, I don't know. I have another question here. Do you have maybe outside of perhaps a terrible dexterity, an Achilles heel you want to build into your character, or, and I've written this down, a blind spot for your PC? And is it going to be just being blind?
It might just be my entire field of view that is my blind spot.
That's more than enough. but also just like, you know, there could be like personal things where you just, you know, trusting everyone would be kind of an Achilles heel. Being very too trustful or not trusting anyone is an equally bad Achilles.
Yeah, it's always a one of the tricks with choosing one of these like sort of character focused ones is like knowing when to let it go and like knowing when to like when your character needs to develop and you need to get past it, which I'm not good at. And so I'll pick a thing and be like, my character's like this, and they will just stay like that forever. And that's called character development. I know authors that do character development, and they're all cowards. But yeah, so I mean, I'll have to like sort of explore it a little bit. Get in the space, sort of feel it out with the rest of the crew. I think that probably outside of maybe one or two characters that I have a like strong relationship with, I will be on the like less trusting side. Although I think that we'll get plenty of play out of my inability to respond to direct messages. There will be plenty of foibles and so forth. I don't know that I need to throw in an extra one where I also won't listen to people like on purpose.
Well, if you're a blind character, Flacca, you can just be like, sorry, wasn't listening, deafness. It's like, wait, which one were you again? And then if they were like, I was waving at you, why didn't you come pick me up in the starship? It's like, sorry, blind dog.
Ah, still blind.
Still blind. You should have let out some more pheromones so I could smell them.
That's right. You bathe too much.
An important question for all the player characters is, what's your modus operandi? What's your agenda? What's your raison d'etre for adventuring? Are they just in it for the money? Are they looking for fame? Do they need the money to get out of something, or do they need the power to put pressure on, like, get revenge on a gangster or something like that? What are you out here for in this Starfinder universe?
I think that my character needs... I already did get out of debt. Hang on a minute.
get your parents out of goblin jail. We've had that in one of our...
I kind
of
get my parents games. Out of space goblin jail.
Oh, man, that's the worst.
It's going to take at least 12 gold. That could take months to get.
That's a lot of gold.
Especially since they stopped using gold.
Yeah, I have 30,000 credits. Is that 12 gold? I don't know the conversion. That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
Yeah. So it's I mean, I think that we're chatting a little bit about maybe some character crossover backstory things with one or potentially more characters. And I can't remember if we were talking about that before we turned on the recording. So it's like, that's why I'm being kind of cagey about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm sort of imagining that. That's sort of getting my brain juices sort of flowing a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm sort of liking the idea of, like, one of us sort of owing the other one a life debt. And then, like, I'm happy to owe Miles the life debt.
I was about to say, who's the Chewbacca?
Right. Is that, what if we're both the Chewbacca? We saved each other and now we owe each other a life debt. But, you know, we've just been dancing across this whole galaxy trying to pay off the other one's life debt. But yeah. So we're.
Well,
I will reveal more when the time is right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we need
When I've written it. Oh no.
Yeah, at this point we're a few weeks away from diving into these characters, which I'm so excited about. Not everyone's got everything finalized yet still. But I think we'll find a lot of these characters in the first episode, which I'm very excited about because I just got the Adventure Path book in digital form. I'm still in on the physical, and I've already got a plan for our kind of equivalent of an episode zero, or, you know, the five of you meet in a bar kind of situation. What that will be. What kind of bar fight will you get into this time? But yeah, I'm very excited about that, and I am excited about this character and what potential kind of meta stories we'll have in part for them. But yeah, we'll leave it at that because we have a lot of stuff still to finalize, and I'm excited about this character. I can't believe you rolled such a if we had done this like five or six more times, I don't know if we would have gotten one as cool as Flacca. Rebel Oracle.
It's gonna be pretty rad. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. So that is gonna do it for us once more, and potentially for the final time. As I said, I don't know what order I'm gonna put these in, but by the time we've recorded yours, we have recorded all five of these episodes, and I forget what I have on my schedule, but I think after that we're just diving right into. Episode one. So I'm excited. I'm very excited. My. Thank you so much here, Jabert, for taking the time to chat.
Well, podcast time to chat. It is my pleasure. Thank you for agreeing to run this game for us. This is a big endeavor, obviously.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As always, thank you, Patrick.
thank you.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think that the people who are listening, hi there, are going to have a lot of fun with it too.
I'm excited to unleash five more weirdos out into the universe. So yeah, that's going to do
five more for now. Just wait until I'm the first person that walks into a room and gets my head eaten off by a Nakata.
Then you're playing the
oh look, I'm an envoy now.
The backup character.
That's I love making characters. So like it's, you know, the level one, level two. Oh yeah, the characters go down real fast than level one, level two.
So easy.
You never
easy.
Know. Don't fall in love with any of them.
Well, no, listeners, get ready for Starfinder.
I mean, fall in love with all of them,
and fall in love with series be one of Cosmic Crit. Deeply
committed with all of these guys,
and then be devastated when our favorite dog is ripped. I kill a puppy live on the podcast. Oh man!
Don't worry, I'll be an old dog, say, so it won't be sad.
Yeah, be like, oh, it was good. He was having problems.
His hip was all messed up, and yeah, it's probably, probably for the best.
You can't play another old character. You played a 100-year-old robot, and everyone's like, finally, this guy's dead. All right, that's going to do it for us. Listeners, thank you for listening, and we will catch you for more Cosmic Crit 2.0 action as we get started in Series 1 very shortly. So long, everyone.
Bye. Wait, oh, that was just me. That's bye. Everybody.
Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye, everyone, including you.
Including me. Wait, no, no!
You've been listening to Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game, and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.